not that important.
You're the director, not the actor. Okay?
Well, we're all in acting together, right? So, but we did leave off. I did finish Judges.
Did you?
Yes. You picked a star movie.
Yes. So, and but looking through that, what I did want to say was, you can see the when you look at the last the incident with actually there's three incidents with the Benjaminites. We didn't really cover that. The incident with Micah and the tribe of Dan. So you can see the decline has gone from not just individuals, from individual to a tribe, and then the whole nation is headed downhill in a decline. And it's not isolated, it's widespread. It's like a little leaven has leavened the whole lump. So the whole nation is on the spiritual decline. And while we were looking at that, it occurred to me is when the Lord was giving them their if-thens, and if they're cursing and the blessing, it occurred to me that he never, ever promised them that he would raise up judges. It was all, and this is all his, those judges were by his grace. He just injected that, and even I would say after you, this is 13 times. 13 judges where they, when they would do this, and he would say, and then when the judge died, they did evil. Mm-hmm. And when they'd get in trouble, and he'd raise up another judge. And when that judge, they did evil again. And can you imagine how God is constantly stretching out his hand toward them? Like Abraham, he says, would you destroy the city for 50? And he says, no, I won't for 50. Okay, what about 40? And he says, no, not for 40. And he says, okay, Lord, what about 30? And he says, not for 30. And he says, Lord, please don't be angry. What about 20? And he says, okay, for 20. And he says, Lord, I know this is pushing it. My last time, he said, what about 10? And he says, for 10. But you can see this, he's one time, two times, three times, four times, up to 13. That is grace. That's amazing. And not just that, but what they were doing, they were things that the Lord, he had already told them, don't do this. And they did it over and over and over and over and over and over.
Sounds like us.
Sounds like us. So when they get to, right, when they get to this, and he closes out the book, like just what we read, in Judges 21, he says, you know what, just to talk about the Benjaminites for a moment, what they did was they had, the Benjaminites had went up against the rest of the tribes. They had done something evil, I can't recall right now, but they went up and they fought against the Benjaminites. And they took the Levite's concubine and defiled her. So the Levite took that concubine and cut her up into pieces and sent her to the 12 tribes to show him that this is what you've done to me. So they went up against the Benjaminites and they fought against them and they killed them. All but 400. They were hiding in a cave. So when they got back, they realized that, you know what? We almost wiped out a whole tribe. God can't be pleased with that. So they said, we need to go and raise up children for our Benjaminite brothers, so the tribe won't be lost. So they went out, and this is, look at, it's 20. Chapter 20. It was 600 men. I'm sorry, I said 400, but it was 600. Chapter 21, I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to get the...
5,000 men fell.
Yeah, that's a lot. Let's start at verse 10.
20 or 21?
21, chapter 21. He says, and the congregation sent thither, or there, 12,000 men of valor, men of the valiantest. You know, that was a word. and commanded them, saying, go and smite the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead with the sword, with the edge of the sword, with the women and the children. And this is the thing that ye shall do. Ye shall utterly destroy every male and every woman that hath lain by man. And they found among the inhabitants of Jabesh-Gilead 400 young virgins that had known no man by lying with any male. And they brought them unto the camp to Shiloh, which is in the land of Canaan. And the whole congregation sent some to speak unto the children of Benjamin that were in the rock Rimmon, and to call peaceably unto them. And Benjamin came again at that time, and they gave them wives which they had saved alive of the women of Jabesh-Gilead, and so they sufficed them not. And the people repented them for Benjamin, because that the Lord had made a breach in the tribe of Israel. Then the elders of the congregation said, how shall we do for wives for them that remain, seeing the women are destroyed out of Benjamin? And they said, there must be an inheritance for them that be escaped of Benjamin, that the tribe be not destroyed out of Israel. Howbeit, we may not give them wives of our daughters, for the children of Israel have sworn, saying, cursed be he that giveth a wife to Benjamin. Then they said, behold, there is a feast of the Lord in Shiloh, yearly, in a place which is on the north side of Bethel, on the east side of the highway that goeth up from Bethel to Shechem, and on the south of Lebanon. Therefore they commanded the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards. And this is what we're reading this, because what you see them doing is something that it should shock you when you read it.
Yeah.
It never happened. It's not supposed to be this way. But he says, verse 20, therefore they commanded of the children of Benjamin, saying, go and lie in wait in the vineyards and see. And behold, if the daughters of Shiloh come out to dance in dances, then come ye out of the vineyards and catch you every man his wife of the daughters of Shiloh, and go to the land of Benjamin. Here they are. This is a holy day. This is a holy feast day of the Lord at the tabernacle. And they're saying, when the women come out and dance, and unless maybe you guys, I can't recall ever where the women danced around the tabernacle in the feast days. It's like, where did this practice come from? I mean, they have gotten so bad. There are some things going on that you can't explain. Well, you can explain it. They're in decline. They're in spiritual decline.
Well, we see it today where you have pagan practices that have been made part of the church. Nobody thinks anything about it.
Right. But you're right. A lot of pagan practices, right. But they go out and they catch these women. And, listen, they're not of the tribes of Israel. So where are they from? They're one of those ites. They're one of those ites. So, and yet, they have enough conscience on them to say, well, we've almost wiped out our brothers. We can't do that. But they're still picking from heathen. They're still mixing. And they're still, even when they're trying to do right, it's still wrong. In the Lord's eyes.
True. Well, they're offering a compromise or adulterated.
Yeah. Doing what's right in their own eyes. And in their own eyes, it's right. They're trying to right a wrong by killing a bunch of people, stealing their
right
daughters, and giving it to these people. That's their good deed, right?
Right. Isn't that amazing?
That is amazing.
They say two wrongs don't make it right? Well, they've made three wrongs. But it all started with Benjamin, you know, which actually it started with the Levite, which started with Micah, or Dan, which started with Micah, which started way back. You know, it just...
compromise after compromise.
And snowballs. Which is a good point, you know what? When you see, when there's a little leaven, if you don't get it out, a little leaven, leaven the whole lump. So he finishes out, and they take these daughters, he says in verse 23, he says, and the children of Benjamin did so. They took them and took them wives according to their number of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their inheritance and repaired the cities and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance. And the Lord finishes out with his disclaimer.
Yeah.
He says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And actually, the king they wanted was the Lord. The king that was really should have been over them was the Lord. But they didn't want him. They didn't hearken to him. And he says they did that which is right in their own eyes. And it's just going downhill. So he finishes out, and when you get to the book of Ruth, here's Ruth and Naomi. Naomi's, you know, well, we'll look at this. Naomi means pleasant. And Naomi's a type of Israel. And she goes out, look at verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled. That's what we just went through. In these days. In the days where every man did what was right in his own eyes. That there was a famine in the land. Does that sound familiar? Or the Lord says, if you don't listen to me, he says, I'll cause a famine in the land. You'll lay some crops, but you won't eat of them. Because they're going to come up and they'll destroy your crops. And he says, and I'll make your earth as brass. It won't produce. And here they are. They have a famine in the land. That's in Canaan. The land that was flowing with milk and honey. He says, I'll cut that off. He says, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab. He and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech. And the name of his wife, Naomi. And the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came there. They came into the country of Moab and continued there. Now, they left their inheritance to go to Moab. You know who Moab? That's the same people that when they were coming into the land, wouldn't let them go by.
The Moabites.
They says, we're coming through. They says, let us go through and drink some water, and then go on our way. says, no, can't do it. And he said, we won't touch nothing else. We just want to water our flocks. And he said, no, and if you come up there, I'll come out. So they said no. Now here, they're going right back to the people who refused them, leaving their land to go here. And like I said, Naomi is the type of Israel in this situation here. And her son's names are instructive too. Mahlon and Chilion, it means pining. You know what? Pining. Pining, like...
wanting.
Yeah, wanting, right. Pining and... I can't remember the other one. Pining.
Sick.
Sick and pining. Thank you. Which is a... This is what the nation... This is the state they're in right now. They're sick and pining.
Yeah.
Just dwindling away. Wanting. And Naomi, her husband died, and she was left, and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Should we expect anything different? No. And the name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And Mahlon and Chilion died, also both of them, and the woman was left, and her two sons, and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. So the famine was only in the land. Everybody else had food. And that's consistent with the Lord's curses when he's beginning to withdraw his hand of grace, so to speak. And even with that, you see that his grace where she heard there's bread in the land again. So she goes back there and look at verse, I don't want to read all this. Verse 8, and Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. That's her sons and with her. The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight, and should bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes, that the hand of the Lord is what?
Gone out against
me. She's a type of the nation. The hand of the Lord is against the nation because they've turned to him. They've turned against him. And they wept. They lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth cleaved unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What is that a type of?
What's that? What?
What is that a type of?
A wedding ceremony.
Oh, well. What is this? What is Ruth? Is not a Jew.
No,
she's a Moabite. She's a Gentile. What does this remind you of? If Naomi's a type of the nation, be what?
A proselyte.
She'd be a proselyte. She would be getting in on the Abrahamic covenant. Because she's blessing Israel, even though the Lord is against her now, Naomi. The Lord had dealt bitterly with her. But she's still there. She looks at her and she says, I'm going with you. And I want to be with your God. I want to be with you. Your
reminds
people.
Me that says that those 12 men will take hold of the skirt of the Jew and say, we'll go with you because we hear the Lord's with you.
Same thing. It's just on a grander scale rather than here. So here we have the setup here. In verse 19. So they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass, when they were come to Bethlehem, which is coincidentally, she said they heard that there was bread back in the land.
Yeah.
And she's going to what?
The
house of bread.
The house of bread.
And they were when they it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city was moved about them, and they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? You can see it's consistent with what's going on with the nation as a whole. Is it?
The nation is also bitter.
That they've been dealt with bitterly. Yeah. But you can say that, but it's been earned.
Yeah.
It's not like the Lord just decided to wake up and punish them. He's been very long-suffering to this point. Okay, verse chapter 2. And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him, in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went. Now here's where it got real weird to me. The only way Naomi could be restored, because she has left the land, she has sold her inheritance. She's went off into the Moabites and dwelled there, and she's lost everything. Now she comes back. And she needs to get her inheritance back. And the only way she can get her inheritance back is for a kinsman to purchase it, to redeem it. She needs to be redeemed. She needs her land redeemed. Just like the nation will when they're headed down, and the Lord, it's systematic. They're headed down, and he says, you're going to need redeeming. Which we already knew that when he came out of Egypt. So, when he comes through here, and he puts in Ruth with this type of Naomi, and she says, I have a near kinsman. It may be that he could redeem it. But she's too old to have seed raised up for her. I don't know, maybe you guys know, I don't know of any place in the redemption process that allows for Ruth to redeem, to be a substitute for her.
A Gentile, a substitute for a Jew?
Right. I don't see where anywhere in there, but that's why it was so, I won't dwell on it. But she goes there and she begins to glean in his field. And then he begins to show her grace. He gives her handfuls on purpose. Where he leaves behind enough crops for her. and look at chapter 4. And they and Naomi and Ruth, they get together and they plan these things out. And it says, you go glean in this field. And he finds her. He sees her and he says, you let her glean with us. And he gives her some of the best crops. He gives her, the, you know, all the things that she needs to, because, and this is a Moabite.
She's a beautiful woman.
She's, and he's, but he's showing her favor. He's showing her a lot of favor, a lot of grace.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know who she is. So they haven't officially met. And verse, in chapter 4, verse 1. Then Boaz went up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by. You know what? I skipped something that we need to look at. Go back to verse 12. I'm sorry, yeah, chapter 3, verse 9. Well, one more back. Verse 7.
I'm sorry, what chapter?
Chapter 3, verse 7. So Naomi tells Ruth to go into Boaz's tent and to lay at his feet. And this is so she can find out who she is. Verse 7 says, and when Boaz had eaten and drunk, and his heart was merry, he went to lie down at the end of the heap of corn, and she came softly and uncovered his feet and lay her down. And it came to pass at midnight that the man was afraid and turned himself, and behold, a woman lay at his feet. And he said, who art thou? And she answered, I am Ruth, thine handmaid. Spread therefore thy skirt over thine handmaid, for thou art a near kinsman. And he said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my daughter, for thou hast showed more kindness in the latter end than at the beginning, inasmuch as thou followest not young men, whether poor or rich. And now, my daughter, fear not, I will do to thee all that thou requirest, for all the city of my people doth know that thou art a virtuous woman. And now it is true that I am thy near kinsman, howbeit, there is a kinsman nearer than I. Tarry this night, and it shall be in the morning that if he will perform unto thee the part of a kinsman, well, let him do the kinsman's part. But if he will not do the part of a kinsman to thee, then will I do the part of a kinsman to thee. As the Lord liveth, lie down until the morning. Now, the part of a kinsman is to redeem her. And the redemption right belongs to the next of kin. Well, Boaz, he's a near kinsman, but there's one nearer than him. But the criteria for a kinsman is this. Number one, he's got to be the closest of kin, which is the next of kin. Number two, he's got to be willing to do it. And number three, he can't mar his own inheritance.
He's got to be able to do it.
He's got to be able to do it. But he can't mar his own inheritance.
Right.
So, If Elimelech has a son, if he raises up seed to another woman, well, she gets everything. He raises up her inheritance and she gets his. So he's marring his own inheritance by raising up seed to this woman. So when when the nearer kinsman comes, in verse 4 he says this, Then went Boaz up to the gate and sat him down there, and behold, the kinsman of whom Boaz spake came by, unto whom he said, ho, such a one, turn aside and sit down here. And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, sit ye down here. And they sat down. And he said unto the kinsman, Naomi is come again out of the country of Moab, selleth a parcel of land, which was our brother Elimelech's. And I thought to advertise thee, or that is, give you warning, a notice, I thought to advertise these saying, buy it before the inhabitants and before the elders of my people. If thou wilt redeem it, redeem it. But if thou wilt not redeem it, then tell me that I may know. For there is none to redeem it besides thee, and I am after thee. And he said, I will redeem it. Then said Boaz, what day thou buyest the field of the hand of Naomi, thou must buy it also of Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of the dead, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance. That's the catch right there. And the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I mar my own inheritance. Redeem thou my right to thyself, for I cannot redeem it. So he's already, his inheritance is already done. If it was just buying the land back,
nothing to it.
But if I have to do this too, I can't do that. Because if I raise up, if I marry this woman, then all I got is gone. It can't happen. That makes sense? Ron's just looking at it. But, and not only that, but it would be going, the land would go to Naomi, and her, she'd get her land back, but his inheritance would go to Ruth.
Right. Which is what Boaz made clear.
Right, to a Gentile.
Right.
To me, there's a lot going on there that, you know what, I don't even understand it. I don't understand how they got to this situation or how this.
Yeah. We're pretty well educated in the rights of our land.
Yeah, that's a well. Apparently they were.
If you lay down the wrong one, you lose it.
That's the way it goes. He says in verse 6, and the kinsman said, I cannot redeem it. He says, redeem it. You redeem it. He says, for I cannot redeem it. Now this was the manner in the former time in Israel concerning redeeming and concerning changing. For to confirm all things, a man plucked off his shoe and gave it to his neighbor, and this was a testimony in Israel. Therefore the kinsman said unto Boaz, buy it for thee. So he drew off his shoe. And that was a transaction that he's saying, you know what? I can't do it. You do it. A handshake would have done. But this is in front of all the men. The transaction has been made. So verse 9. And Boaz said unto the elders and unto all the people, ye are witnesses this day that I have bought all that was Elimelech's and all that was Chilion's and Mahlon's of the hand of Naomi. Moreover, Ruth the Moabitess, the wife of Mahlon, I purchased to be my wife, to raise up the name of the dead upon his inheritance, that the name of the dead be not cut off from among his brethren, and from the gate of his place ye are witnesses this day. Verse 13, so Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife, and he went in unto her, and the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons hath borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became a nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, there is a son born to Naomi, and they called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Now these be the generations of Phares. Phares begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram, and Ram begot Abinadab, and Abinadab begot Nashon, and Nashon begot Salmon, and Salmon begot Boaz, and Boaz begot Obed, and Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David.
The great-great-grandfather of Jesus Christ himself.
So
that is the name
And the typology here is when Naomi, when the Lord has dealt bitterly with the nation, he drives her out. They go out there. They're destitute. They've lost everything. But he comes back and he redeems them. He redeems the nation. He gives them their inheritance back, just like Naomi. And he does it through the kinsman, who is Jesus Christ. He's the near kinsman. And he not only raises up Naomi, but Naomi is in a position, Ruth doesn't get blessed without Naomi getting her inheritance back. So when Naomi gets her inheritance back, the kinsman is able to bless Ruth, which is weird because he marries Ruth and they have a son. And Naomi, Ruth, Boaz, and the son, they all benefit from the redemption. I don't know. But we know that the Lord is the, he's the kinsman redeemer. How's he the next of kin? Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and it became flesh.
And he became sin for us.
He took on the likeness of a man. He was found in fashion as a man, so he became the kinsman. You know what Luke says? He's the Son of Man. He's the second Adam. When he comes, he's in a position, he will always be the next of kin for not just the nation, but the world. He's the next of kin, and he's willing to redeem. Sacrifice, he said in Hebrews, sacrifice and offering, I know you don't want. He said, but a, you remember what he said? A body thou has prepared me.
Hang on a second. You were saying, something just struck me. Back when you were going through the rites of the law of redemption, what was it that happened with the inheritance in order for you to, the three qualifications?
He had to be willing to do it.
Okay.
He had to be, he couldn't mar his own inheritance.
So
he had to be the next.
So clear, or catch that out a little bit when you say mar his inheritance.
Like Naomi didn't have a husband.
Uh-huh.
The like we just read about the Benjaminites, uh-huh, where the Lord, well, they had to catch women, uh-huh, to give to the Benjaminites to raise up seed so they would have an inheritance, so they wouldn't lose their inheritance. Because without the seed perpetuating, they would lose it.
An empty land.
When the man died, well, that's it.
So, translating that to Jesus Christ, where I'm going with this, what I'm trying to tie in my head is that when we're in Christ, we're co-heirs. And I'm trying to get back to that whole inheritance.
If you stick with,
okay,
if you stick with the progression,
mm-hmm, something you said just made me go down that path.
Because this is where, that's why I'm not trying to go too
ahead.
Because there's things in here that I don't understand,
okay,
to my satisfaction. But if you stick with the way it should be, the nation needs to be redeemed. You don't get it if they don't get it. So if Naomi doesn't get redeemed, neither does Ruth. So when the moment Naomi gets redeemed from that kinsman redeemer, Ruth gets her blessing.
Yet Naomi only got it because Ruth found favor with Boaz.
Right.
So that's where you're saying you get the head a little bit, and that it kind of messes up.
Yeah.
A little hairy there.
And yet if we go to Romans, where Paul's talking about the Jews, and he says they've been put aside,
yeah,
and we're
right.
But if
if we can be forgiven, then they can too. I'm forgetting.
And don't get puffed up. It's like a
it's doing the exact. Isn't that right?
He says, "Be not high-minded, but fear." He says, "Because if he restored not the, if he spared not the natural branches,
right?"
And you can see there's some things going on here that
I was talking about.
11:30. Yeah. Go ahead.
For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, through them being out. Through the Jews being out, we've obtained mercy. Even so, have these now not believed that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy?
Right.
So that's the same reverse you're talking
right.
about.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
And so, but if you and if you're looking at, I'm looking at this, and you go through Judges, you go through Joshua, Judges, and then you get to Ruth, and it's just here. And it's in here, and he's talking about the kinsman redeemer. And he's not just the kinsman redeemer, but you got Naomi, which is obviously a type of the nation. You got Ruth, which is obviously a Gentile.
Right.
And Boaz, which is obviously a type of Christ, the near kinsman. And she says, I got nothing. The Lord has dealt bitterly with me. He has pretty much cast me away. But yet, this Gentile is still following with her. And she says, I'm going with you regardless. And she gets here and she says, I'm too old. I'm barren. You go in and entreat my kinsmen to raise up, to restore my inheritance and to raise up seed for my inheritance. The more I talk about it, it's very
didn't quite connected all the dots
But thank, do we just say this? Thank God for the kinsmen that he is able to redeem. And you know what? This, what I see is they don't get it without being redeemed as a nation. And we don't get it without his grace and his favor. And the thing is, and when you go through here, and when you get to Samuel and the Kings, you'll see that what I think about it, these are real people, and it is so, the heart of a man is so wicked. There is no limit to the depth that we will sink.
Of
depravity. That we will sink to.
Or the other way around. What? No matter how, we may have reach for the highest star too, people. Man is bad, but good men come out of bad men. Look at Paul.
Yeah, but he came out of Christ.
Right. Yeah. Good.
Christ.
Paul
was killing.
If I was this,
yeah, Saul was killing.
Saul was killing, but
says,
Paul
but,
was reborn, wasn't he?
But it was all through the Lord, because the Bible says.
Well, of course it was through the Lord.
Because the Bible says no one is good. Our best day is the filthy rag.
Well,
there's nothing good that comes out of us.
So,
so
in other words,
man,
without Christ,
we just ain't worth a hoot, is what you're saying.
No, all we do is great on a scale, but we're all bad.
Our scale. That's what.
Exactly.
But we can see how important it is where he sets the stage. You know what? And without being redeemed, we are. If he doesn't redeem the nation, well, you'll see they'll end up where they're going. They're going down
into Babylon.
But this is the example of what they need. Where he puts Ruth here, he says, "This is what you need."
Well, you know, you're struggling with the connecting the dots, And I'm thinking, because essentially what happened, you know, at Stephen, rather than things continuing on the trajectory it was going, everything came to an abrupt stop, and we went over here and started with this program. And that's kind of, it's kind of a shifting of the whole, you know what I'm trying to say? I mean, I don't have all the answers, but I kind of see, because that's what happened with Israel. I mean, rather than continuing with the next stage, which was tribulation, everything just set that aside. Now we'll pick up something else over here. And
I don't know. I don't see it.
You don't see that?
I don't.
I like what you do see. I enjoyed the lesson.
No, it's very good. It's amazing. There's just so much depth in all of this.
But What I do like is the fact that, like I said, we know the Lord has met all the criteria. He's able. He's willing, able to redeem us, and he won't mar his own inheritance because we've become, like you said, and the nation is his inheritance and the people in it. So there's, all I can say is, we go through and read it again. Maybe the next few times we, you know, where I go through, even though we're moving on, it's just this is one of the good times where it's a survey. So
you don't have clarity on those yet.
No, not much. So let's pray, and then we'll pick up in Samuel. Lord, we do thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. We just thank you for the enlightenment that we do receive, and for the anticipation of enlightenment as we read. We don't get all these things in one reading or one sitting, and not even in one lifetime. But we thank you for the light that we do receive, and we rejoice in that. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.